How many know the church is serious? It's good to go to church and get something. Amen? Good to go to church and get something. I just want to talk to you a bit today. Good to see Becky back in church. How many of y'all got the bulletin? Amen. We're really getting there. We're getting up there now, huh? We got bulletins. Amen. And you're going to pray about those things. Amen. And things are going to get better for us. Glory to God. In prayer and thinking about, Lord, what are we going to share with these people this week? What are we going to share with this body this week? Where do you want us to go? And we were just praying. And I said, Lord, so many things to share, so many things we need to know. How many of you get to the point to where you do self-evaluation? Huh? Anybody ever done a self-evaluation where you evaluate yourself, see where you are, see who you are? Come on now, you ever gotten there? And have you ever gotten real about it? There's nothing worse than to do your own self-evaluation and lie to yourself. Amen? That's like going to the hospital, you know, or going to the doctor and you having a terminal disease and the doctor doesn't tell you about it. You got to know where you are, right? Well, I was doing some things. I was sitting up there, moving on. And I said, Lord, I know you called me to do those things which I'm called to do. And I'm not preaching about myself. You listen to my stories and apply. You can make it similar to what you're going through, okay? So I'm just talking about my life. And I was sitting up there going through some things. And I said, Lord, we want to go to the next level in this ministry. We're so busy. Amen. And think, we want to go to the next level. We want to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. How can we get there? Somebody say hallelujah. Look like they got an escapee from the kids' prison. Hallelujah. So I said, Lord, how can we get there? I said, it takes so long to get there and to get people trained. How many know you got to train people to get them to do what they need to do? And how many of you actually, come on, how many of you know that? It takes a long time to get someone to do a simple task. And we've tried and we tried it. You know, you can't make people do anything. You got to encourage them to do those things. I said, here we are trying to build a ministry. And we got to train. There's so many positions that need to be filled, so many things that need to be done. Why can't we get these people to do these things? It's so hard. And you know, as you're showering, you're going through all these things and you're praying and thinking and meditating. Anybody been there? Maybe you don't pray in your shower. Amen. But I was praying and thinking. I said, well, Lord, we just need to go to the next level. And it takes a leader. And I was sitting up there griping to God. I said, well, Lord, obviously our leadership skills aren't that good because we're not going. It doesn't seem like we're going anywhere. How many have been real? How many can be real? Y'all are going to talk to me this morning. I said, my goodness, we got this ministry and we can't get anybody to do the reception booth. Consistently, it's really hard to encourage. I said, Lord, we're doing the best we could do. What is the deal? Obviously, we have some leadership problems. And you know what? I'm strong enough to look at myself. How many are strong enough to do that? But how many thank God for Jesus? You know, when you pray, you have to pray. You can say what you've got to say, right? But it's not a prayer until you listen to what you need to listen to. That's when it's real prayer, because you'll mess yourself up if you do all the talking and leave. You ever gone to a meeting, and you went to a meeting and just spoke everything you had to say and left without hearing the other side of the party, the other parties? You're not going to get anything accomplished. So I was just praying with those things. I said, Lord, we just need leaders. And we had one time, Phyllis, it's a trip. We've gone through some things. And leadership, everybody say leadership.
Leadership
is what I want to talk a little bit about today. That's really what I was praying and meditating on. And as I was praying, you know, God can be rough sometimes. He's gentle, but he can be rough. But you know, the Holy Spirit, I said, well, you know, I started meditating and thinking on the scriptures. What makes a leader and what makes a good leader? Amen. And you know what makes a good leader, first and foremost, is vision. And every once in a while, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to give you the vision of where you're to go. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you got a vision. I said, well, that's what takes a vision. You know, a leader needs a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, you're going to be messed up. And all of a sudden, I said, well, Lord, what do you mean vision? And all of a sudden, I started to visualize some of the things that I believe God wants to do. And some of the things that I envisioned weren't necessarily, they were holy and they were godly, amen. But boy, they weren't off in the mission field in Africa someplace, and I was surprised. You know, I was, you know, you'd expect when you say, Lord, what is the vision for this ministry? You know, of course we got a vision and we got a plan that God gave us. But the primary thing that God showed me, he said, where are you leading the people? And he said, you know, you're only going to lead them to what you envision. And all of a sudden, I envisioned some things that I wanted to accomplish in my life. Isn't that strange? Spiritual pastorate. Y'all know I can be spiritual sometime, right? And I said, Lord, what is the vision? And I was expecting, Lord, remind me one more time of this vision of what we need to do. Now, of course, all the things that we've heard from the Lord, and I'm sure you read the vision on the website, all of those things are right. I said, well, how can we lead when we get that? He said, oh, that's just the vehicle. That's not the vision. Oh, it's quiet in here. When I saw the vision, he said, when he envisioned, he showed me my stuff. I was like, what? I've been meditating and believing God. How many of you know you meditate and believe God for yourself sometime for things? How many of you got some goals for your own life? Amen. You know, you could be, I don't want to be around you if you don't have any goals. You're not going to have any goals for my life if you don't have any goals for your life. If you can't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of me. Amen? It's the truth. You're not going to be able to love anybody else unless you learn to love yourself. If you can't love yourself, you don't qualify to love anybody else. It's just not going to work. Because you're going to start to get mad sooner or later. Amen. I'm doing for everybody else. And what about me? The what about me is coming. Amen. Because they've neglected themselves. Now, I'm not teaching selfishness today, but it must be good. Y'all must have been talking about that too, huh? Don't y'all know I got your cars and houses bugged? No, I'm joking. But we've gone through some stuff. And I was going through, and I said, Lord, vision. I said, well, I want to be a better leader. And how do we get this? And he said, it's the vision. And God showed me, and I said, well, Lord, what is the vision? I thought he was giving me a big rebuke because I saw this house. I said, oh, this house I've been talking about. Y'all know I'm wanting to get some stuff. And I saw this house, and the Lord put that in front of me in spiritual time. Him supposed to be preaching and getting together and all my house. And all of a sudden, I thought God was telling me off. The reason why it's failing, because all you think about is your stuff. And I don't always think about my stuff. And I said, well, maybe that's at the core of my spirit. My goals, that's what it is. I'm not seeing the Reinhard Bonnke stage and the billions and billions of people getting saved. He didn't show me those things. Is that saying he's not going to do it? No. But he showed me something of quality life. Everybody say that, quality life. And I thought I was getting this big rebuke. And it came up to the Lord and said, no, you're a very good leader. He says, you just lead where I tell you to go. It's easy. You know, we can look at spiritual things and spiritualized things, but God looks at the root of things. It's not God's will for us to build a big group of people. That's not leading you anywhere. You'd lose out. It's not God's will for us to lead you to build some big church. We can build a big church, but you know what? That's no type of leadership. And there's no anointing on that whatsoever. Amen. God says you are a leader, and you've been leading all along, and he showed me some lives. Somebody say hallelujah. And he said, this one was here, but look at them now. Hallelujah. He said, that's my goal, and that's my desire. Amen. Amen. A big church and a platform someplace, amen, is not going to affect lives. Amen. Amen. He says, you said, the reason why I showed you that is because you desire quality life, and you will lead others to quality life. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, you are going someplace. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the difference is everybody's going. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we can get into something that's already put together, but that's not going to affect us anywhere. Eh? Somebody say hallelujah. You got to know. So we say, what is the vision? Somebody say, the vision is having you complete and full. And you know that's in the primary vision of the ministry, that everyone would know their purpose in daily life and ministry. Amen. I'm going to lead you to you, and you can go where you want to go. Somebody say hallelujah. And that's what the goal is. So you got to know. Somebody say, well, where is he leading? And somebody say, well, he's leading you where you should go. That's more effective. Somebody say hallelujah. And that's not an excuse. So we got in there. Somebody say hallelujah. So we have to learn to deal with certain things and make it better. So all this other, now when we build this church, we build this ministry, we do all this other stuff, all that stuff is just secondary to the primary vision of seeing you be all that God wants you to be. It is more important, amen, to deal with what we've got. Somebody say hallelujah. And lead them to where God wants them to go, out of the mess, out of the muck, amen, then build another club. someone say leadership. So that's what it's all about. So when you find, someone say find. Leaders, first of all, got to know where they're going. And God's ready. So he said, well, you wouldn't be so distracted. He said, that's why you're not leading people in certain directions. Amen. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Doesn't he lead us? And there are certain things that we go through in life. How many of you go through some things in life? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And every year, every week, in every group that we deal with, somebody say hallelujah, there are people that are going through some unbelievable situations that we never know about. And we couldn't be so focused on usher boards. Amen. And to get somebody to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, leadership. So many people are concerned about how straight we march. Amen. Or how good our uniforms look. Amen. Than where we're really trying to go. Where are we trying to go and why? Somebody say, hallelujah. You know, wouldn't it be a trip to build a big ministry and everybody messed up in it? And y'all just doing stuff you just don't know why? Somebody say, direction. So we have vision. One of the things I've found is when you're trying to find leaders, first of all, leaders have got to know your potential. Leaders must know your potential. They've got to see potential in you, and they want to develop your potential. And so often the outward things, I'm talking about real leadership. Now, you can get controllers out there that call themselves leaders. They're just controllers. They're not leaders. Somebody say hallelujah. Your direction comes from the Lord. Amen. It's the minister's responsibility to encourage. Now, you're not going to sit up here and take her and mess up our machine. You know, we got to have function and structure in the church, you know, just to keep the thing going. Amen. But the spirit and your governing values is between you and God. Somebody, I don't want to get off in that. But we're talking. Now, listen to this. It says this in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We must thank God for vision. And vision is just not somebody with a good idea. I'm so sick of good ideas. I mean, I used to have committee meetings. We used to get all these ideas. And boy, and then find out that how many are sick of wild ideas? How about it, Brother Jay? Amen. An idea today, idea tomorrow, and then nobody wants to walk through on their ideas. I don't like ideas. I like vision that comes from God. And it says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Ever say vision? Now, we deal a lot in ministry with mentality, don't we? We're always talking about the way we think and how we carry ourselves, our attitude, making sure that we're at least got the right mental attitude, that we're at peace. Well, you know that has a lot to do with vision. In this word, if you would break that word vision down a little bit more, it goes in where there is no sight or dream, revelation, okay? Dream, sight, dream, or revelation, and it means sight of mentality. Where there is no mentality, proper mentality maintained, amen, there is no vision. So vision goes along. When you go someplace that has a vision, they might have an idea and a plan. But if the people's mentality are not synced, amen, and not put together properly to cause that thing to happen, there is no vision. Somebody say hallelujah. A vision person is going to maintain mentality. Amen. So he wants to keep the dream alive. It's more than an idea and somebody writing something down. Amen. It takes a long time. So a visionary is a person that puts things out there for people to see. Amen. Inspires them. Gives them revelation from the Word of God and how they can accomplish that thing. Amen. And he works on their mentality so they will be able to do it. All right. It says, if they don't listen, where there is no vision, the people perish. How many of you are tired of perishing? Doesn't mean you just fade off. It means they go back. It means that word perish also means where there is no vision, they go back or they come to naught or they just avoid everything. They're not going to accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. If people don't see, How many don't want? How many stepped out? Come on, be honest with me. Since you've heard the good word of God, you've heard the word of faith, and it calls you to step out in certain things. How many are starting to step out a little bit or got challenged? I heard some of y'all, got nervous about stepping out, but you've stepped out because you found out that God was on your side and that you can make something happen if you had to. Amen? Well, if you don't stay in vision, if you don't stay hearing that word of encouragement, amen? Hearing that word of exhortation, amen? Keeping in vision, having that vision constantly before your eyes, amen? To where you say, hey, this is where you're trying to go. Stay in sync with it. Stay together, amen? Get your mentality together. You can't make it with that negative mindset. You can't do that. When you lose that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to perish. And what perish means is it goes fade right back into what you had before. I'm going to say, where there is no vision, the people perish. I don't want to perish, and I don't want you to perish. How about it? And we have to pray. You know, and I started praying. I said, well, how many of you go through all this? We got a lot of religious mumbo-jumbo going on today. And we think, Lord, what can we do if we want to go forward? We want the people to get in sync. We want to be the right leader. And first of all, I started to think, Lord, we got several organizations we're with, but we just can't pull do everything everybody wants us to do. Not that we're rebellious. We want to be under leadership. How can you be a leader if you can't follow? And it helps me. It helps me to find a true leader. There are certain people that you can allow to be your leader. Amen. And I'm not talking about getting rebellious. Amen. If you allow them to speak into your life, amen, to give you vision, amen, to give you insight, to inspire your dreams, to give you revelation. You know, I was thinking, well, you know, there are not too many people out today. You know, we have a shortage of really good leadership today. We got great administrators, amen, dictators, controllers, and all that other stuff, amen. But there is a real shortage of leadership. And I tell you, what I would call a good leader is somebody that looks at your potential and wants to develop your potential for your good, not for their good. Somebody say hallelujah. I thank God for people like Brother Hagin. Amen. When I look at that, I'd say, well, surely we can't get totally in to different, you know, ride up there and get up under them and be knocking their brain for every little thing that's out of them. Amen. But I thank God that he shares what he's been through. Amen. Gives us revelation to where we should go. Amen. And he wants us to get there. Therefore, and he also helps us in our mentality so we can get there. So that could be considered a leader. So I'm going to say, praise the Lord. Now, it says this. Now, if we want to be a good leader, there's another scripture I want to share with you. There's, of course, everybody likes to go right here to Habakkuk chapter 2. Why don't you go there? How many want to run? How many want to go forward? How many believe there's a vision for your life? Hopefully, you know what? When you start to, you want to be under a leader that's constantly telling you, you can make it. You can do it. And when they settle in you, they settle in to leave you where you are. Guess what? They're not willing to lead you anywhere. Amen? You know, they should always be encouraging. You don't want to be up under somebody that's always, you always feeling like you're falling short or you're not good enough. That's not good either. Amen? That's a mess. Amen. But shortly, a good leader is going to tell you, you know what? We're making it, but we can do better, and you can do better. And I see you getting there. And every time you get in contact with that person, they're pulling the best out of you. I like what they said. You know, even God said, amen, look, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you and to give you an expected end. Amen. Amen. That's a supernatural vision. Now, right here, it says this. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. How many hear that all the time? I say, well, we did it. We put it on the website and we've done all that stuff. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. That's what I like about that thing. So I say the vision, what God said is going to come to pass. But you got to be where God wants you to be so when your vision comes to meet you, you'll be there. So that's why you want to stay a good visionary person that's going to keep you in the right mindset so that you're not shaken from your place. Now, I like this word, read of it. Everybody say, reads it. It says that those that read it. Now, it's very important that when you hear the vision, that you don't let it stop there. Now, we know that vision, you need to apply faith to vision. When you get a word from God, you need to apply faith to it. There was another scripture I like, and I was meditating on that this morning, and some of y'all are sick of hearing it because we say it over and over and over and over and over again. But faith cometh by hearing. They say faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Well, of course, if you're going to have a vision, the vision is going to be seated in the Word of God, right? God's plan for your life, and God wants you to develop faith, right? He wants you to develop faith in the vision that He has to your life. Well, He wants you to start to act on that vision that He's given you. And I was just reading that scripture over and over and over and over again this morning. Getting ready, just reading it over and over. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why I started reading that? You know, we were writing a prayer request. I mean, give me one of those bulletins. Who's got a bulletin? Anybody got one? Thank you. And she's writing her notes. Amen. And I wrote something. And you know, we wrote this one little thing right here. Continue to pray for those that are weak in the faith. Pray for their spiritual healing. As you pray for them, pray that they would remain under the Word of God. Now, how many think that's a weird statement? Okay? Only the Word of God can make one strong. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith will always weaken when we cease to hear the Word of God. We thank God. We thank God that faith will come to those that hear. How many are, you know, when you get weak in your faith, you hear. And I kept reading, faith cometh by those that hear. And you read it again, then you read, faith cometh. Everybody say, faith cometh. Say, faith cometh. Well, if faith's going to come, amen, you got to come too. Somebody say, hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing. And I broke it down some more. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh. You know, you just meditate. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. Jesse, come over here by me for a second. Come on over here by me for a second. Jesse cometh by, amen, by me. Somebody say, hallelujah. Faith will come by you as long as you're hearing. Somebody say, hallelujah. And we always look at it, and you can get it the other way. Somebody say, come on by. Stop on by. Everybody say, stop on by. You need faith to stop on by. There is faith to stop on by. But as long as you're open to vision and hearing the plan of God for your life and rehearing it, amen, faith will come on by. Faith comes by. It's not just the vehicle in which it travels, amen, but faith comes by the hearer. We say, then came faith. I mean, you know, when a lot of people don't really understand that, amen. I can be so weak one day, amen, and so discouraged. Anybody get weak and discouraged? Sometimes you get weak and discouraged, and what you do when you get weak and you get discouraged, you get into the Word of God, and you just start quoting, and all of a sudden, something snaps. Faith comes by. I said, okay, here's the faith. Faith will always come by those that hear. So you won't, listen, the hearer will never be alone. Faith will be right by his side. Amen? And I tell you what, wherever the word is, the hearer will come. Revelation will come. I call that hearer, when it says hearing, I call that hearing a revelation, the spirit of revelation. Amen. You just keep hearing. You just keep hearing. You just keep seeking God. Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to know more about your plan for my life. I want to know more about your word. If you have that desire and you just keep, you know, you just desire it, amen, hearing will come. You stay around the word and something's going to snap in you. You stay around. I tell you what, you ever got around an inspired person or someone that's encouraging you always? It does something to you. It makes you want to hear more. That's what the Word of God is like. I tell you what, when you get around the Word, someone that does not just talk in the flesh, talking mess, wasting your time, talking to soap operas, amen, but someone is talking vision and possibility and hope for you, guess what's going to happen to you? Something on the inside of you, the listener's going to wake up. The listener's going to wake up and say, wait a minute, they said that before. Hold on, I better listen to this a little bit more. Amen? And all of a sudden, that hearer starts to come on. And as soon as that hearer wakes up, amen, faith will come by. Somebody say hallelujah. Faith comes by the healer. I mean, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I wanted to throw that in there. So it says, he that reads it. Now, like this. How many of you pray and you hear? Y'all might think I'm a nut because I'm talking. I got to let us into an experience. Hopefully God deals with everybody the same way. You know, we don't know. But I was just thinking about this, and I was thinking this morning, because I was going on there, and as I was praying in my spirit, felt like the Lord was saying to me, I'm not finished talking yet. You know, we were talking about when we pray that we can say all that we want to say, and then all of a sudden it's done, and then we'll say, okay, that's fine, there we go. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, God may not be finished talking yet. Faith comes by hearing. And I want to throw this in there. Listen, we may inspire you or light a flame on the inside of you when you come to church and you hear a word. Just come from my mouth or whoever's teaching, Sandra, or whoever's here teaching the Word of God. Amen. The word of God goes forward and you think that service is over. Guess what? God might not be finished speaking. Does that mean you stay in the seat longer and wait for the speaker to come back to the podium again? No, we'll never get out of here. Lord knows. You know, y'all know, I can't stand long services. And y'all think, well, isn't that a trip? No, I really don't like long services. I don't. I don't like long speakers. Amen. Brother Osteen said, you know, the mind can't obtain what the butt can endure. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. You know, you can't hold on, you know, about half an hour is more than enough. But you got to realize this too, is that when a word comes, you know, this might just be the opening of that word. All week long, God might still be speaking on that same subject to you. Everybody say, God, I'm not finished talking to you yet. You ever had a parent, when the parent was talking to you, and they said their point, and you were like, okay, I got it. And all of a sudden, they'd call you back, I'm not finished talking to you yet. I'm not finished yet. There are so many issues in our life where something starts, you know what, and God starts it off either with a message or a song or someone talks to you, you know what, and we just walk off and leave it there. If it's really God, he's not going to finish talking to you with just me, because you know what, you'd be a nut. That'd almost be like a cult, that the only time you hear from God is when it comes from the pulpit or from your particular pastor. That means you don't run around to every church, but maybe he's not finished talking to you. Maybe you turn on a TV show. Somebody say hallelujah. You turn on and the preacher's preaching on the same message. God is still speaking to you. Your wife might wake up and say, you know, honey, the Lord's been dealing with me, blah, blah, blah. Somebody say, God is not finished yet. Allow the Lord to complete what he's saying to you. Be open. Amen. But you also got to be discerning too. And we talked about, don't receive every little thing you hear. But realize that when God is speaking, amen, he's going to speak to you loudly and clearly. It's not a puzzle. God doesn't have to make things complex for you. Doesn't send you on little scavenger hunts for you to figure out his will. That's stupid and sadistic. Amen? When God really wants to tell you something, he'll tell you over and over and over again. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as you're hearing, keep hearing. Keep hearing. Be open all week long. God, you can speak to me Monday. You can speak to me Tuesday. You can speak to me Wednesday night. You can speak to me at the lunch table. Amen? Whatever you want to do, God, keep speaking to me. So we're talking about vision. And in vision, it says so that those that read it, everybody say read. Say read it. We have to put it out there so you can read it. So as you keep hearing it, you're reading it. Reading it means more than just looking at it in your face. You ever heard people used to say, well, that person read my mail. That prophet read my mail. They read me through and through. You have to put, the word of God has to be out there so that people can read and discern what God is trying to say. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, that they may run. Somebody say run. Now, when the vision gets out there, the vision for your life or the vision of God gets out there, amen, we write the vision so that you can read it so that you might be able to stretch yourself. And that's what run means. Everybody say run. I mean, I like that word run. I'm about to shut up, thank God. Amen. Now, we were talking about run, so you put the vision out there so that those that read the vision, see, that's what you want. Now, we're getting back to our ministry, back to the ministry. There are some things that we envision for this ministry per se, amen. But we're going to put the vision out there so that people that read it, someone say that those that read. There are so many people that run without reading, and that's scary. Notice that it didn't say that everybody should run, that those that readeth it may run. And that really shook something up on the inside of me when I read that. Oh, wow, that those that read it run. There it is right there. We don't want just everybody running. Somebody say running. That gets dangerous. We got everybody, you know, running stuff. I'm going to run this. I'm going to run, running. You know, it could be running the ministry, running children's church, or running the music ministry, or running the coffee bar, or the visitor. You know what? You shouldn't be running anything if you haven't read the vision. I'm not just talking about going on the website. It said readeth. It didn't say have read it. It said that those that read it, that means that those that are in sync with the vision, that are constantly reading it, that constantly have it before them, that are meditating on it, amen, and knowing what the plan of God is for that time, so that they can run into what God has for them and stretch out. So we say, don't read, don't try to run anything. Say, don't say it real loud. Say, don't try to run anything unless you're reading. When these words come, we govern the ministry in the same fashion, the same format. I mean, you know, if we're reading and meditating and praying and finding out what the will of God is, do you think we're going to run the church out of sync from what we're meditating and praying about? We're going to stay in that direction. Well, it's the same thing for every form of leadership. For anything that you do, you're not going to be able to run anything effectively or stretch out in anything God has for you unless you are constantly reading what God's plan is for your life. How many want to run the plan of God for your life? God wants to accomplish some things, and you want to see that thing. You want to start to run the program. You got the program, but you want to run it. Well, you better start reading the vision. Amen. So that those that readeth it, you know, that you're constantly in the Word, studying the Word, meditating, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen. That you may be able to start to run the program that God wants you to run. If you have computers, you know, you get little computers, right? And they give you a DVD or a CD or a disc or something, and there could be a program. Corey's a programmer, an excellent programmer. Thank God for that, a gifted programmer. But when they do that, he can write a program and put it on a disc, correct? Amen. And when you stick that disc in your computer, it's not going to run automatically. That computer must do what? It must read what is on that disc in order to run the program. And so often we want to run programs without having anything read the disc. You've got to read in order to run. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think that's good. I think that's really good. Amen. It's just natural. The work is not, you know, the computer's doing the work, but really it's so easy. All it's doing is reading the disc. All you have to do is read the Word, read the plan of God, meditate on it, and the program will automatically run. I like those when you get a good computer. You just put it in and it does everything itself. You just put it in and said, man, you think it's doing it all by itself? No, it's just reading the disc. And so many things for our life would be that easy if we just read the plan of God for our life, the vision of God for our life. The thing will just start to run, and it's not that hard. Computers that just run themselves, they call those viruses, I guess, you know, just get in there and it's just doing whatever it wants to do. No, it's meant to read programs. And God's given us the Word of God. He's given us scriptures. He's given us plan. He's given us vision. He's given us insight. All you got to do is read it. Meditate on it, dwell on it, amen, and the program will start to run. Did you enjoy that this morning? Amen. Did you enjoy that? Look at somebody and say, we're going to get there. Thank God we got a vision. And if anybody says, what's the primary vision of Nations Church? They say, what is the primary vision of Nations Church? They say, is to make me all I can be. Somebody say, hallelujah. Just to make me all I can be. That's what it is. All the other stuff is in sync, amen, but to make me, you know what, we got 10,000 people and nobody really achieved their potential. Nobody's going to, it's hard to receive your full potential because God's always got more for you than you could ever think, ask, or imagine, amen. But if people are never developing themselves to walk in the fullness, you know, or at least a measure of what God has for them, we fail. That is our vision. Why don't you stand up right where you are, amen, and we get to have church tonight. We get to have church tonight. Now, y'all should pray for that vision, right? Because it's good for you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good for you. Hallelujah. We get to have church tonight. Father, we thank you for a wonderful fellowship today. We thank you for all those that are gathered in this room. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would speak to their hearts, that you would encourage them, Father God, because we know that what you want to do in them and through them is good. And it's for the good of mankind. It's for the good of the world. It's whatever you wanted to do, God. You put it on the inside of them. So, Lord, if we encourage your plan on the inside of them, good things will happen, God. Your things will happen. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I stir up the gift that you've placed in each and every one of these people when you saved them, when you washed them in your blood and made them who you want to be, Father God. Lord, give them encouragement, Father God. Set the captive free. Father God, restore hope in the name of Jesus. Lord, if there's any ounce of discouragement, unbelief, Father God, Lord, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I send the word to them, letting them know that you are God, the God that is more than enough, Father God, and that they are going to accomplish it, what you told them they can accomplish, Father God. Their life is not going to be wasted, Father God. It's your will. You want to do it more than they do, God. And that it's easier than they ever thought it was, Father God. All they got to do is put in the disc and relax and enjoy life. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you've placed in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to do an offering teaching right now, and the teaching is it's good to give. Amen. Yeah. So give well. Hallelujah. If you have an offering seed, Jesse's going to pray over it. I already taught him, Jesse. Amen. So you pray over the offering today. How many are glad for offerings? I am. Amen. I love offerings. You know why? Because you know what? It does help. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Put on some good music out there. And y'all be back in church tonight. Y'all be back in church tonight. Don't miss. And don't miss the Friday night services. I'm thinking, when do y'all get back, Dean and Kathy, from your trip? August 2nd, huh? Okay, so y'all going to miss. Hagen and Copeland are doing a couple conferences, and I recommend going to those conferences. Also, T.D. Jakes is going to be in Houston on the week of the 17th. Woman Thou Art Loose is in Houston. Get there. Just get there. Amen? Make it happen. Don't miss it. I mean, if you have to call in well at work and go. Somebody say hallelujah. People used to call in sick, and Rita taught us how to not to call in sick. She called in her job one time and said, I'm calling in well today. I feel too good to come to work. So it's really good. Make sure, Phyllis, is it? Now, you know that's a miracle. I never remember names. Amen. Y'all just make sure Phyllis, amen, Phyllis feels welcome, and get out there and get some coffee. Amen. And everybody's praying. Corey's believing God for a new car, right? And so we're going to be praying that he gets that car that God wants him to. The money's there. He's just waiting for the best deal. Amen. So God bless y'all. And Billy Coon. Don't forget Billy Coon. Billy Coon. And Mike has a kidney stone. They were supposed to be leaving yesterday to go. And we got a call in. And he just barreled over and painted and rushed him to the emergency room. They didn't know what it was. And so he went on a trip with kidney stones. So. Praise the Lord. So he's doing that. So it's rough. All right, y'all. Be nice. God bless you.